Well, this is Mother's Day, and I want to talk to you about a mother, a meal, and a miracle. A few months ago, we were at Mount Carmel in the Old Testament, and Elijah and the fire came down, and the prophets of the groves and Baal were destroyed and so forth. I want us to go back to that close to when that was happening in the life of Elijah, and you'll understand what a mother and a meal and a miracle means in just a moment. But I do want to remind you that Elijah lived in a time when Israel was in rebellion, idolatry, turning away from the Lord, under the influence of Ahab and Jezebel, who was a Phoenician princess that married King Ahab of Israel and became the queen of Israel, if you will. She brought a lot of debauchery, a lot of immorality, and a lot of idolatry into the nation, and the prophets of the Baal ruled and reigned. And God raised up Elijah, the prophet of God, and God prepared judgment for Israel to turn her back to him. And Elijah went before the king of Israel, Ahab, and told him that there's going to be a famine, a drought in the land, and it will not rain except by my word. That's powerful. And so the heavens were shut up. No rain fell. The crops didn't make. The rivers and lakes started drying up. People began to be in want and need and began to perish. It was dire straits time. Do you know that during that time, the first part of that season of drought, God told Elijah, I'm going to feed you by having food sent to you. And this was before Amazon. He said, I'm going to send your food by ravens. In other words, I'm going to use the crows to bring food to you. Told him which brook to go camp out by. And the crows brought him food day in and day out. That was a supernatural miracle. When that brook dried up, the Lord gave him a new direction. And we pick up there in 1 Kings 17, verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to him, that is to Elijah, saying, Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon. Now that's in the north. That's outside of Israel. That's in the Phoenician territory. In other words, around Jezebel's kinfolks. And he says, I want you to go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose, went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. This widow was in dire straits herself. She was in a corner. She was hanging on to the last knot on the rope. She was on the precipice of peril. Death was before her because she had a little flour, a little oil. This would be her last supper. And in her mind, after this, there's no more food and we will die. And now this man of God says, give me a little bread out of that. But he's not through talking yet because God's not through talking yet. We'll pick up the next verse. And Elijah said to her, Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel. Now she's in Sidon, but he says, thus says the Lord God of Israel. The bennet flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. That's powerful. That's powerful. Now remember, Elijah had already told Ahab, it will not rain until I tell it to rain by my word. And now this widow's being told by Elijah, you won't run out of the flour, you won't run out of the oil until the Lord sends rain on the earth. Next verse. So he went away, she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. That's the power of a word from God in the middle of your need. The miracle came. And so this is such an astonishing story for us to dive into this morning, because whatever your need may be this morning, whatever circumstances you may be facing, whatever impossible situation that may be before you, whatever hurt you're dealing with this morning, there's meat for us to eat from this word. So let's dive in a little deeper. And the first thing I want to talk to you about is the work of the unseen hand. All on this story is God's unseen hand at work. And here's what we learn. God is already working where you are going before you even know you are leaving. He's amazing. And we see that in this scripture, because Elijah is being fed by ravens and the brook's drying up. But before the Lord tells him where he's to go next, God's already at work. When we read that, he said, arise and go to Zarephath. And then he told him why. He said, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. Now, I don't think this widow had much of a clue about what was about to happen. And we want to talk about that. But God's unseen hand was already preparing her, working on her, so that she would show up and be at the right place at the right time when Elijah showed up. It's a miracle of God's timing. Also, we are going to see that this woman who lived outside of Israel, I don't believe she was a worshiper of Jehovah because of what the scripture says. She tells Elijah, she says, according to your God, the God whom you serve. She didn't know Jehovah God yet, but that didn't keep Jehovah God from working on her, didn't keep God from using her. Listen, there's hope for us all. If he could speak through a donkey to somebody, then he can use me, amen? So God was working. He told Elijah, arise, go to Zarephath. I've commanded a widow there to provide for you. Because when Elijah shows up, it's not like this. He shows up and she goes, oh, there you are. Hey, I'm going to be the one providing for you. An angel appeared to me and the Lord said, I don't believe it happened that way. I believe the first part of the way the Lord dealt with her was on that morning she got to thinking about what she was going to do, and just the right time she headed out that gate and she was just at the right place picking up those sticks, and here comes Elijah. And when he sees her by the Spirit, he engages her. Numbers of you here this morning have had something like that happen in your life. You're minding your own business, you're going about your day, and out of nowhere, but is it really? Out of nowhere, someone's name comes into your mind. Or you remember something that 2 or 3 months ago you needed to get about doing, but for some reason you just wanted to do it right then. So that name comes to you and you call them and you find out what's going on, and God uses you, or you call them and they share something with you that meets a need in your life in some way. It may be encouragement, it may be something else. God does that. Or that thing that you hadn't thought about in a couple of months that you were going to get around to, you got a desire to do it, you show up to do it, and there's someone and you engage them, and the next thing you know, God's doing something. It's like God's preparing things ahead of time, and you may not even know you're on the program. But there you are, and it just unfolds, and you know, wow, God did this. I remember such an occasion a number of years ago, not long after I was filled with the Holy Spirit and I was learning how to hear the voice of the Lord, and I was up praying that morning to get my day started, and while I was praying, I had a little vision just flash in my mind. I didn't see it out in front of me. This was in my mind. And I saw a name. I think it was the name Kelly. And I knew it was a woman, not a man. It was like Kelly. And when I saw the name, that was followed by just a real sharp pain in my left knee. I hadn't been having any knee problems. It just came. And then I thought about, well, Lord, what's Kelly mean? And then this pain came. And so I'm like, well, wait a minute. Okay. All right, Lord. I'm praying about the day before me. So I'm going to be looking. If I run into some woman whose name's Kelly, I'm going to ask her about her left knee and pray for her. Because I'm learning how this works. So I didn't know where I was going to be all throughout that day other than go to church. But when lunchtime came, and I hadn't been there, and I don't know when, but I wanted to go to Pizza Hut and eat. Well, I didn't know that was another thing the Lord was doing, working through my desires. He does these kind of things. So I show up at Pizza Hut. I walk in and make my way up to the counter. There's people in front of me, and there I am, and I look, and the lady serving me had her name tag on, and it said Kelly. Well, I got excited. And I looked at her before I ordered, and I said, how's that left knee doing? You've been having pain with it. And she said, what are you talking about? I said, well, the Lord told me this morning I'd be meeting you, and you had pain. And she did this. She was kind of startled. She went back, hit the pizza rack behind her with all those pans in it, and it was just the loudest ruckus you've ever heard almost in Pizza Hut. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. I said, but honestly, I was praying this morning, and the Lord told me I was going to be meeting a lady named Kelly, and she has trouble in her left knee. So is that you? She goes, yeah. And I said, you've been having a lot of pain? Yes. And I said, may I pray with you? So I took her by the hand, and I prayed for her and was able to share with her, you know, God loves you so much. We never even met before. And I said, he knew I was going to be seeing you, and he just wants you to know he loves you. And I prayed for her and touched her, and the Lord touched her, and it made her day. It made my day. And you know what? Apart from me or anyone else, God could have just touched her. But he chooses to use people. And here, he's working in Elijah's life, and he chooses to use this little widow woman who's got a son, and she's kind of like Mr. Magoo stumbling through this. But really, it's the unseen hand of God bringing things together that would result in blessing her and her son and her household, to bless Elijah and ultimately the whole nation. More on that in a moment. The work of the unseen hand of God. All in this story, as a matter of fact, all through the Scripture. The whole book of Esther is about the unseen hand of God. Never even mentions God's name, but he's all in it. And there may be times you're not aware of it, and you can bank on it. God is at work in your life, believer. He promises he's at work in our life, both to will and do according to his good pleasure. Second thing I want you to notice from this Scripture is the logic-defying ways of God. Now, if a famine's hit the land and you go into prepper mode, about how you're going to feed your family, how you're going to eat. I doubt anyone in here would be, well, I'm going to find me a creek and I'm going to camp out. And crows are going to fly in and they're going to feed me. That makes no sense to the natural man. But that's exactly what God required of Elijah. And Elijah just took off and found the brook, and here the crows came. Defies logic. Now, the brook dries up. God's changing the program. So you would think, I got to take care of the man of God. He's going to need a place to live. He's going to need somebody to feed him. And you think about all the people in the whole territory, and you pick a widow woman that's got a son, and she's down to her last meal, and she's going to take care of Elijah until the drought ends. Who does that make sense to? If you're going to serve God, you've got to learn this. Human logic cannot take you where faith alone will keep you. You have to live by faith. When you don't see it, when you don't feel it, when there's no evidence, you stand on what God says. A lot of people have never come to know the Lord because of human logic, intellectual reason. They're smarter than everybody else. And they will say, God doesn't exist. Listen, you can't know Him through your smarts. You'll not find Him through your logic. You're going to find Him by faith, by believing what He says. And that's the reason it's important that we have to do things like give people Scripture or teach them or witness to them so they can know what God has said concerning their lives, so they can do it and get the benefit of the blessing of having done it. But logic won't take you there. Now, I'm not saying there's not a place for logic. That's part of the faculty that God's given us. It's very, very important. I'm very linear and logical most of the time. And sometimes that's good and sometimes it's not. But in the spirit realm, in the life we're called to live following the Lord, you have to live by faith. And if it comes to a place where human logic's telling you one thing, but God's Word's saying another thing, you've got to allow your faith to grab onto the Word and tell your mind just to wait till things clear that you're going by faith. God chose to use this widow woman. And think about her. Wait a minute. I just got enough for one more meal for me and my child. And now you're wanting it? Who's that make sense to? But now we're going to put the first point and the second point together. Because when Elijah wanted to drink, she was willing to give him some of her water. But when he said, bring me a cake of bread, she stopped and spoke up. Now, wait a minute. I've only got enough left for my son and me. And now you're wanting my bread. I mean, we're planning on eating this, and that's it. We're going to die. But when he told her, no, you just go ahead and do what you're going to do, but first bring me a portion. If he had stopped there, that might be one thing. But when he said this, when he says, thus says the Lord of Israel, that bin of flour shall not be used up. That jar of oil will not be used up until the rain comes. When he said, thus says the Lord, it may have been his mouth that opened. It may have been his lips that were moving. But it was the word of the Lord that fell upon her ears. And when it did, because she was a human being made in the image of God, and because his heart has always been for all people to know him, when that word fell on her, it began to stir in her and move in her and do something in her that was so powerful and it was so strong that it rose up past her human logic. This doesn't make sense. I need this flour. I need this oil. My son needs it. It doesn't make sense, but something in me's moving me and telling me that I need to act on what I've just heard. So she stepped out of her logic into the place of faith, and it changed everything for her. It all rests on the word that came from the Lord. Because there's power on the Lord's word. And Elijah was saying what the Lord wanted him to say. Just like rain. I think when he said, it won't rain except by my word, he knew that he wouldn't be the trigger puller. He knew there would be a spirit initiation. Okay, step into your place. I want to use your lips and your mouth again. And that's the way it happened. Human logic cannot take you where faith alone will keep you. The just shall live by faith. We can't bow the knees to our feelings. We have to stand on God's word. Now, that brings me to the third thing I want to talk about. I want to talk about the miraculous math of God. God can multiply by means of subtraction. Really, when we talk about multiplication, it's when you have something, you add something to it, you keep adding to it, and you get more. But God's math is, give me what you've got. You let me, you know, if you let me have what you have, then that'll position you to get what I have. That's his miracle math. And when he wrote the code for a seed, he put that in there. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, then it will bring forth a harvest, a multiplication. And it's that way in our lives. Sometimes we're confronted by the word of the Lord that comes to us where he's requiring something of us. But you can't outgive God. Listen, if you give him all you got, think about what he has that he can give. And this little widow, this widow woman finds this out because she only had a little flour and a little oil, but she's turning it over now into the hand of God, and it miraculously multiplies until the drought ended and the rain came. That's the miracle math of God. And that defies our logic as well. And that's brought about by the unseen hand of God. God used this widow, this woman, who basically was impoverished, to be the means to provide for Elijah the prophet. You know, through my years of ministry, and I'm sure Pastor Doc, Pastor Larry, Pastor Gary, others of you that have pastored, you've seen this as well, that people that didn't appear to have much to give, how they give sacrificially, like the widow who gives the mite. And yet, you see, they have so many prayers answered. They see God working in their life. When Mickey and I, when God required of us to leave all visible means of support and income and step out of a pastorate situation that was really a blessing, but just to follow God and do what God said, we just left it behind. God, through so many people in so many ways, provided for us. And there was one group of five or six, I would call them little ladies, two or three of them were widows, but they had a Bible study in the little church they attended way out in the country that met every week. And every month, like clockwork, we'd get like $35 or $40 that they would take. And they, because they believed, they'd come to my Wednesday morning Bible study I did in the community. And we were so touched by that. You know, just how the Lord spoke to them and gave. He moved upon this little widow to show favor to Elijah. And she got the prophet's reward. You know, the scripture teaches that. And so it's just a beautiful, powerful story. The next thing I want to talk about for a moment is what I'm calling the doorway to blessing. The doorway to blessing. When we step by faith, then what we're doing, we're recognizing and moving on the Word of the Lord. And that's the step that activates the supernatural and releases heaven on earth. Thus says the Lord, this flour, this oil will not be used up until the rain comes. She moved on that Word. In other words, it's like she stepped into the doorway so she could be blessed. I'm talking about obeying the Word of the Lord, recognizing the Word of the Lord, knowing when the Lord's speaking to you out of the Word, and by faith stepping into it. I would say the vast majority of everyone in here this morning has an honor for God's Word. We hear the Word a lot. And that's important. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of the Lord. But how do you know that you're hearing and moving in faith? Well, you're stepping into what the Word says. That is faith. When you do what the Word says. And the Bible teaches us that we can become deceived when all we do is hear and we don't act on what we're hearing. There can be a deception that can come upon us that think, well, hey, I'm cool. I love the Lord and I love His Word and I agree with what the preacher's saying. I believe that's right. We can do all of that and that's good. But if you stop there and don't implement it into your life and say, this is what the Bible says, so this is what I'm going to do. From simple things like, I'm going to start reading my Bible, to I'm going to start praying, I'm going to start giving, I'm going to be a witness, I'm going to learn how to hear God's voice so I can be led by the Holy Spirit, and so I'm going to learn God's Word so I won't be deceived. All of those things are part of the life of faith, but if we're not stepping into that, and when we're in the Word, then we get it introduced to all this wisdom and ways that we're to live that affects every decision in our life. And this is the way we grow and mature, walk in the Spirit, and are able to stand on the Word doing it. But we have to do it, not just hear it. And I believe there's an honor and blessing in just being present in the room like we are right now. And the Lord favors that. But what we're being given and what we receive, we need to act on it. And far beyond what I'm able to teach on Sunday, you know, what you're learning in the Word during the week as you and God alone are in the Scriptures and you're praying, you're meditating, and you're reading it, and you're learning, you're growing and building your spiritual muscle. This is the doorway of blessing. You step through that by faith. And it's so important that we understand this. We will soon have been in our new building when September rolls around for 2 years. But there was a God, His unseen hand, moved on our leaders during that time because we had talked about whether we would ever build or add, you know, continue to renovate where we were and that kind of stuff. But it's just like a desire began to fill our hearts. And as it unfolded, it's just like, well, we're going to build. And we looked at 4 different properties and that we thought might be suitable and got leadership on the property that we're on right now. And we secured a loan and we bought the property. And, we'll pay the property off and then we can see about getting a loan to start the building. And we took a couple of special offerings during those 2 years. I think the largest one was $30,000, which, you know, we thank God for that. But the property was $839,000. And to be honest, I don't know how we paid that off, but in 2 years it was paid off. People just were moved on by the Lord and started giving over and above, and everything that we weren't using for expenses, our ongoing expenses, we were putting into that, pay that property. In 2 years, it was paid off. And so, all of a sudden, you know, and when we first got started, I thought, it might take, oh me, a big faith, you know, it might take years to get to the place where we, but in 2 years, God, you and the Lord moved, and amen. But then it came to the place of, okay, we're getting a bid, draw out a building, get a bid, see what we're going to do. I started visiting the banks and meeting with loan officers and showing them our finances and all of that. And, you know, we weren't getting good response. I went to one of the larger banks in the southeastern United States that has a branch here in the city. And I got to see a vice president, and they were asking me questions. They said, we want to build. Well, how much you think you're in? I said, well, probably around $3 million. Well, it ended up being, you know, more than that, a good bit more than that. But he just said, that's a little long for us. It's like he wasn't even interested. He said, I'll get somebody to call you. They never did. Went to some other banks. I don't think you guys are ready to take this step yet. And it's just like all the doors were closing. Well, Lister Hill Credit Union had loaned us the money for the property. And then they came back to us and said, listen, you paid this off in 2 years. We believe in y'all. They gave us a loan. They gave us an incredible commercial loan interest rate. And we were able to start building. We signed a contract. I don't know if I mentioned it or not, but this was right when COVID started. You would think that's the worst time on earth to start a building program. You can't get materials, and they're going up, up, up. Our contractor immediately started ordering stuff. Here's my point. God was orchestrating things. He stirred desires through his unseen hand and brought us to a place where we're going to just stare at all those figures and that opportunity, and we're going to do it or not. And we wanted to be wisdom. We wanted to count the cost. But yes, okay, we believe the Lord's given green light. He moved on Lister Hill to give us a loan, and so we did. Inked the contract, got the contractor, inked the contract. You know what? If it had been just 3 months later, the cost of this building would have been so much more. By the time we finished this building would have cost almost two times more than what we had signed a contract for it. And the interest on the loan would now be double what we got it for. What am I saying? The doorway for us and God's timing and unseen hand and the step of faith, thank God all that came together. And listen, he's going to pay it off early. Amen? I believe that with all my heart. The doorway of blessing. It takes faith. Now, I had to include this one. I didn't read all the scriptures. The story that follows this miracle of the multiplying flour and oil, the widow's son dies. And she comes to Elijah and said, I'm paraphrasing now to save a little time. I let you in, and now your Lord is here, and he's remembering my sin, and my son has died. End of that. Elijah stretched out over him three times, raised him from the dead. But here's how we apply this to our lives. In the middle of taking these bold steps of faith and God radically blessing, that doesn't mean there won't be battles. There will be, and often are, surprise setbacks that you weren't banking on, that you weren't expecting. And it happened to her, and it'll happen to us. Therefore, there may be times when it appears you have lost more than you've gained by serving God. What has to pay to serve God? Look what's happened. Don't be fooled by that. You see, the story wasn't over yet. Your story's not over yet. Our story's not over yet. Even if we don't live to see the full end of our story, when the story's over, we win, we have victory, there will be no more bad stuff, there will be no more sickness, there will be no more sorrow, there will be no more tears, there will be no more curse, there will be no more pain, there will be no more death, and thank God we won't have to put up with any more devil. Let God be true and every man a liar. But these surprise setbacks can come, and they hit her when Elijah prayed over the young man. Now, this is interesting to me, and I'm not going to take a lot of time on this, but I give you something to ponder. When he shows up at her house, thus says the Lord, that flour and that oil will not run out. He got such a boldness about him. He got a word from God, and it was from the Lord. When her son died, he stretched him out 7 times. You don't see him decreeing and declaring. You see him interceding. He said, oh Lord, return the breath to this young man. Return the breath 3 times. And it says, and the Lord heard the prayer of Elijah. God answered his prayer. So we have to pray during these setbacks. Go before the Lord. Lord, what do you want to do here? What do you want me to do? And I believe he got all that from the Lord, and the Lord answered his prayer. There will be these setbacks. And don't let them set you back. Believe. Serve the Lord. In Acts chapter 12, they beheaded James. He honored the Lord through giving his life. They came for Peter. And they were going to do the same thing to him, sever his head from his shoulders. And God sent an angel and delivered him out of the prison. And you know one reason that happened? Because when you hit the rewind button in Peter's life, back to John 21 when Jesus restored him, Jesus told Peter, Peter, when you were young, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted to go. But when you are old, someone else will do that and carry you where you don't want to go. And the Bible says he was talking about what manner he would die. He died by crucifixion. But that word says when you are old. That word of the Lord that Jesus spoke brought Peter out of prison by angelic deliverance. That's the power of a word from the Lord. Hanging on to the word of the Lord in the middle of your crisis. When the Lord gives you a word, you hang on to it. Because there's going to be surprises that may try to set you back. Last thing, and I'm finished here. I want to talk about the domino effect. God chooses and then uses people to bring forth his purposes on the earth. Now you can see in that photo there a multitude of people in a downpour. This is signifying the end of the drought, and they're rejoicing that the drought's over, the famine's over. You know what that means? You know what that picture means? That means that Elijah somewhere says, okay, it's time to rain. He got down on his knees and started praying. He and God got into agreement with God, did what God said, and here came the rain. What I mean by the domino effect. That widow, in her hour of need, who everything in her was probably saying, hang on to what you got. When that word from God touched her, and she yielded to the Lord what she had for his purpose. What that word did, it now made the means of provision for Elijah, the man of God, who would need to be... Now, let me ask you, if you were in the middle of a famine and a drought and people were dying left and right, and you knew that the Lord of heaven had said, it's not going to rain until this man says rain, you'd want to keep that man alive. Well, what this widow did was the means by which Elijah was cared for. But not only him, we're told that she was kept alive and her son was kept alive. But also it mentions her household, or she and Elijah, and it says her household. Well, it didn't say she, Elijah, and her son. It included her son. But her household would mean all of her family relatives. It's like Abraham. When he said he took 300 men out of his household as soldiers, well, he didn't even have a son at that time. His household was his other relatives and the servants and everything. So I believe this story. There was not only enough flour and oil for her and her son, but her whole household. Everyone her life touched that was part of her daily world, God through her provided for him. That's the domino effect. You never know when you're being required to take a sacrificial step and give something to the Lord, do something from the Lord. You don't know all that God is up to. It may very well be that the step that you're taking, once you take that step, that's going to set in motion a chain of events when those dominoes start falling that will result in many, many lives being touched. And you mothers here, oh, the domino effect you have as you raise your children. I remember as a little 4 and 5 year old, my grandmother, Mama Lawrence, that was a good bit shorter than my wife, Mickey. And she had sat in Sunday school class and read a little scripture and story and teach me about Jesus and 3 or 4 more little kids. My daddy and mama took me to church when the doors were open. Now, my parents are like my kids' parents. They weren't perfect. And just like your parents, they're not perfect. And just like you who are parents, you're not perfect. But there's something about having that commitment. When I was growing up, if the doors were open, we were there. Now, I didn't get a lot of it when I was a teenager. I didn't feel like I was caring a lot. But as I really got serious about the Lord, I was amazed at how much I knew that I didn't know I knew. Why? Because I'd been in church. I'd been under the Word. It was a part of my life. When Sunday came, that's where we were. That's what we did. There's a domino effect in that. Train up a child in the way you want them to go, and they will not depart from it. There's a pattern, a template that you put in place by honoring and being faithful to the Lord. Hallelujah. Pastor Derek and I was meeting with a small group of men the other day. One of them was a pastor from India. Some of you have met him. I know Mark and Melody have had Pastor Stefan up at their place. And I was able to spend some time with him. Loved him. Just loved his spirit. Liked everything I saw and felt about him. I mean, just a good brother. And I asked him about his life, and he told me this story. And this fits his last point about the domino effect. He said his grandmother was a pagan idol worshiper. If you've been to India, it's the nation of thousands of gods everywhere. I've been there. She was one of those idol worshipers. The village that she lived in, a plague struck the village, and lots of people were dying. She got the plague, and she was on her deathbed. At some time previous, there had been a Christian, maybe a missionary, that had shared with her that Jesus was the true and living God. She wasn't interested in that. And this person told her, well, if you ever need help, call out to Jesus. He's the true and living God. She's now got this plague, contracted the plague. She's on her deathbed. She remembers this conversation she had. So, laying there and on her deathbed, she said, Jesus, if you're real, if you're the true and living God, help me. In the middle of the night that she had prayed that, she opened her eyes and she saw someone walk through the door, a man come up to the edge of her bed. Who are you, she said. He said, I am Jesus, the true and living God.
Well, I don't know about that, preacher. Let me finish the story.
Didn't say anything else. Turned and walked out of the room. The next morning when the sunlight lit up the room, this woman opened her eyes, sat up, got up. She was completely healed from this plague. And, I mean, everybody knew she was at her, just like all the other people are dying. She should be dead. But she was healed. She got saved. She gave her life to Jesus. Her whole family, because of this, ended up coming to Jesus, which meant that Stefan's parents came to know Jesus. Which meant he came. He said, I would still be over there worshiping idols if it had not been my grandmother's encounter with Jesus. You see, what happened in her life and her receiving it was passed down to her children and her grandchildren. It's a domino effect. So we need to live our lives sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We never know when we might be on God's program. And we're, you know, he's got something planned and we don't even know it until we're in the middle of it. That's the way we got to live. That's the way Jesus lived. He only did what he saw the Father doing. That's the way we're to live. So in this story, we see this mother whom God used mightily, and a meal that just kept on keeping on lasting, and a miracle. And this miracle-working God is inviting you and me to live this way, inviting us into this supernatural lifestyle. Yes, with its battles, with its setbacks, but where are you going to go? He alone has the words of eternal life. I want you to stand with me as our worship team comes. And across this audience this morning, I pray that the Spirit of the living God, that the true and living God, the Lord Jesus, would be honored in every heart. If you don't know Him today, I encourage you, give your life to Christ. Our prayer team members are now coming to the altar. They are going to be here. We have people that are going out ready to serve in the commons area. And we're about to have a time for you to respond to what God is saying to you. If you're here and you may be like this woman, I don't even know what's going on, but God's doing something inside of me, and I know I need Him. You come on up. We'll lock hands with you, and we'll pray with you and believe with you for God's will to be accomplished in your life. He is the God of the breakthrough. He's the God that answers prayer. He can meet our needs, and He alone can give us what we truly need. So Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would move upon hearts in this room. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, how we thank you that you died on the cross, was buried, and God raised you from the dead. Thank you that when we call upon your name, the Bible says we are saved. We are delivered. We are made whole. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. It takes courage and it takes faith. But if God is stirring your heart, we invite you to step out from where you are right now and come. I'm going to transition this service. It'll be over in just a moment. But there are people here that will pray with you. If you have a need, come now. Just step out from where you are. We're going to begin to worship. Holy Spirit, have your way. Holy Spirit, have your way. Holy Spirit, have your way. O Lord who heals, O Lord who saves, O Lord who delivers, have your way. O Lord who provides, have your way.
And praise the one who
is here to touch you in your difficulty, touch you at your point of need. Step out from where you are.
Oh, praise the one who paid my debt. Praise this life.
Thank you. Are there others who need to come?
Oh, praise the one who made my death.
And I know this may be a general thing, but there are a lot of people in our culture right now that they're like the widow. The flower's almost gone. The oil's almost gone. It may be financially. It may be strength and discouragement that's your problem. It may be a sickness you're battling with. You may feel like, I don't know if I can take another step. I can go much farther. This God about whom I preach, He is here to help you.